This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. The recession has hit home for a lot of individuals, and now states, cities, and counties around the country are being hit hard. Mecklenburg is no exception. We've been hearing about budget shortfalls that will curtail library and park operations and result in teacher layoffs and other noticeable cuts in the public schools. But until last night, all those numbers had some play in them. Last night, County Manager Harry Jones presented his final budget recommendation to the County Commission, and he joins us now to tell us how he arrived at those numbers and what they will mean for county employees, services, and citizens. Welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
Good to see you. To those directly affected by these budget shortfalls, this seems like a tsunami in many cases, and certainly in the school system. But you've seen this coming for a while. When did you first realize this was going to be a paradigm changer?
Well, we started preparing for it last January. We started to see some indication of revenue decline in the latter part of 2008. And last year in our strategic planning conference in January is when we asked the board to do a couple of things. One was to go on a debt diet, and two, to begin restricting and reducing the amount that we would sell in terms of bonds for capital projects. And then we began preparing for about $75 million in reductions last year.
So $1.34 billion is the budget that you propose to County Commission, and they will now take it and play with it and then sign off on something. May not be your budget, but it'll be a budget that looks something like that. But put that figure into some sort of perspective. What is $1.34 billion in comparison to what's come before?
We're back at our 2007 level of funding, which demonstrates that we've had some reductions in revenue and reductions in service. To put that in better perspective, that $1.34 billion budget has a lot of debt in it. It has a debt cost of about 21%, roughly $270-some million are included in there for debt. We built a lot of stuff, Mike. We built in the decade of the 2000s. We had a lot of growth. Population grew. Student population grew by 30,000 students, from 100,000 to 130,000 students. Population of this county grew from about 700,000 to roughly 900,000, and we responded to that by building things, and then we increased the operational cost to support those things that we built, an idea of things that we built.
So we have run up our debt.
We've run up our debt.
And the bill's coming due.
The bill's coming due.
And we still have to operate the things that we built.
We still have to operate the things that we've built, and we, in fact, may have to close down some of the things that we have built as well.
Now, 2007 was only 3 years ago, and times were pretty good in 2007. So what's wrong with going back to 2007 levels? Is it because we've built so much and expanded so much in those 3 years that we can't support it on that money?
Well, the debt burden is fairly substantial. So number one, we have, what's wrong is we've got to slow down our expenditures. That's a fact. I think the other thing that we've got to do is that we've got to look at contracting our services, shrinking the size of our government, becoming more efficient. And I call it envisioning a new future, defining a better way to do our jobs collaboratively and collectively in this community.
Which we're going to talk about. Some would say still that $1.34 billion is still too large, that we should cut more, and that we should starve government, we should starve agencies, decrease the size of the school system. Is that a given the Tea Party movement, which is saying that not just here but across the country, is that a small minority, or is it a growing majority of people who feel that way, and are they right?
Well, I'm going to answer the question this way, Mike. This morning I was at the YMCA at about 6:15. I had individuals talking to me this morning about their belief that I did the right thing because they are experiencing some pain in their own businesses, and that we need to contract government as well, just like they have done in their own businesses. I would prefer to look to the future. The past is the past. Let the critics judge us based upon what has occurred, and certainly they will. But we've got to roll up our sleeves. We have got some significant challenges to meet. The school system in this community still is growing. The school system still has needs. I don't like the idea that we have to lay off teachers. But we have a lot of work to do, and we've got to figure out a way to get it done collectively.
Since you brought up the schools, I was going to do this later. We'll do it now. In your budget that you proposed last night, and I don't have the figures in front of me, but I know that the library is being cut, but not as much as the school system. And I know that the library, there was a great hue and cry when the library announced they would have to close half their branches. Not so much when the school system said they were going to lay off teachers, which is interesting to me. Why are you cutting the schools more than the libraries?
Well, the school system actually makes up, the school system by itself, Charlotte-Mecklenburg Schools by itself, is the largest single line item in our budget.
Sure.
And there is no way that you can make the kinds of reductions that we've made in this budget and exempt the school system from it without it having significantly draconian effect on the balance of other county services and programs. The school system's reduction this year is about $6.3 million. That totals
on top of this year's cuts.
On top of this year's cuts and last year's cuts of about $30 million. This year, that totals about right at $20 million that they reduced. So, as a percentage of their total budget, the school system actually received a lower reduction than the libraries did. The library's reduction is about $17 million out of a budget of $32-33 million, mm-hmm. somewhere thereabouts.
But percentages can be deceptive. The bottom line is still the bottom line, and every dollar is a dollar.
Right, but while you're talking about the school system, school system's budget this year is about $295 million. Is another 2.3, so almost $300 million for their budget. But on top of that, included in that $1.34 billion is an additional $166 million for school debt. So when you add those two together, almost $460 million of this total budget goes to support the Charlotte-Mecklenburg school system.
When you started working on your proposed budget, which you presented last night to the commission, the county commission asked you to do it without increasing property taxes. They didn't want a tax increase in this recession. Everybody says tax increases in recessions are not a good thing, but given the realities of what you face as somebody who has to pay out a lot of money every year, was that a good decision?
I think that it is. I'm going to tell you why I think it is. I think that businesses in this community and individuals in this community are having a difficult time making it. Got to remember, we've got an unemployment rate in this community that is higher than the state average and higher than the national average. And that suggests to me that there's some people who are experiencing some difficulties in their lives. And now I don't think would be the time to raise taxes. You know, I go back even to 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, where I did not recommend raising taxes, and I attributed that to the fact that there were high gasoline prices at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of the high gasoline prices, the goods and services that were being delivered were escalating in price, and I felt at that time that people were experiencing hardship then.
But given the pain that we are about to experience, we're talking about laying off 1,000 employees, many of them teachers, at the school system, almost 500 employees in the county. You're talking about curtailing services, unfunding certain things, certainly decreasing funding for most services that the county provides across the board. Is there not political will or stomach among the electorate, the citizenry, to increase taxes to keep some of those services coming or healthy, like the schools, for instance? We always talk about how important education is, and then we whack them.
Well, I don't hear the debate that supports raising taxes at this time. I've heard very few people say, raise my taxes. I've been all over this community.
But when the library said they were going to close half their branches, you heard it.
I heard it from some people. I did.
Do those people understand taxes equal services and vice versa?
Well, I think those people maybe understand that taxes might keep their library open. But I don't know if the, and in that case, you could argue that does mean that they believe that taxes would mean services to them. Their library would stay open. But I think we've got to look at this thing universally. Let's just be clear. What we really need to do is to hit the pause button on the keyboard and to rethink how we fund services in this community. If we, the easy thing to do would be to raise taxes and continue doing business just as we are. And then when the next economic downturn occurs, we're going to be right back in the position that we're in. I proposed several key initiatives last night, a debt service fund, the segregated from operating fund, so that we can begin thinking differently about how we provide services in the future. And, you know, so let's hit that pause button and then rethink county government, rethink how we go forward. Mm-hmm. But to continue doing things in the way that we've done them is not going to help us build a sustainable future.
Which is why you began your remarks last night by quoting Ralph Waldo Emerson. I cannot think of the last time I knew somebody who quoted Ralph Waldo Emerson. And he said, this time, like all others, is a very good one if we know what to do with it. Did you have to search for that quote, or are you a Ralph Waldo Emerson aficionado?
I'm not an aficionado, but I will tell you, I went to one of my guys who helps me write these things, and I said, there's a quote from Ralph Waldo Emerson that I remember from my days in college. And it goes something like this, yeah. And he Google searched it. I Google searched it and gave it to him, but I was still correct about what it said.
You mentioned the impact of declining sales tax revenues, declining interest on investments, declining revenues from fees and charges for services and state funds. Of all of those declines, which hurts the most?
The sales tax. The sales tax one has declined this year. We budgeted $168 million in sales tax revenue. We're projected, I think, to come in at roughly $144 million. And it's so volatile, it's very difficult to predict it in this economy because we just have a difficult time gauging consumer confidence and consumer spending habits. And it's for that particular reason that I said in this new reality, let's create a new baseline. And it's a conservative baseline, and the hope is that we bring in more revenue than what that base, if the board stays there, than what that baseline suggests we would bring in.
So in other words, you don't want to have rosy projections, pie in the sky, can't be, they look good, we'll hope they come true, but we can't meet these projections. You want real projections.
I want real projections, and I want to be in a position that I don't have to, and that we don't have to go through the mid-year adjustments that we have gone through for the last 2 years because of the proceeds or receipts from sales taxes have not met what we had thought they were going to do.
And you said that although property tax revenues are stable for the first time since you've been here, they aren't growing. Is that because the influx of newcomers has stopped? And I have about 15
seconds. Well,
it's
really because the development has stopped and the real estate transactions have stopped. You know, you talk about sales tax revenue. One of the other revenues that we lost is land transfer taxes where, you know, you buy a house.
Right.
It gets recorded at the Register of Deeds office.
We have to stop. Harry Jones is our guest, Mecklenburg County Manager. We're going to talk about the budget some more as we go through the hour, and you're welcome to join us. Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Charlotte Talks is made possible in part today by Carolina Pest Management, protecting homes and families since 1939, offering the environmentally responsible Centricon Termite Colony Elimination System, plus other green pest and moisture control services. CarolinaPest.com. And by Scott Jaguar, presenting the new 2010 Jaguar Luxury XF. Test drives and financing details at Scott Jaguar, located on Tivola Road at I-77, or online, ScottJag.com. Well, race month, well, May is always race month in Charlotte, but it got much bigger this year because every month can be race month with the opening of the NASCAR Hall of Fame. And tomorrow morning, we're broadcasting live from the Hall of Fame. We'll find out some of the key exhibits. We'll take you for a ride on a race car simulator. We're going to challenge a couple of people to a pit stop and learn about the history behind NASCAR and the museum. That's all tomorrow morning live from the Hall of Fame here on Charlotte Talks.
Key primaries in a handful of states Tuesday. will reveal much about voter attitudes toward incumbents and the Obama agenda. Analysis of the results and what they could mean for Democratic and Republican prospects this fall. The Diane Rehm Show, Wednesday.
That's the Diane Rehm Show right after Charlotte Talks from 10 to noon this morning on 90.7 WFAE, your NPR news source.
It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. Mike Collins. We're talking about the proposed county budget, which was put forward to the county commission last night by County Manager Harry Jones, Mecklenburg County Manager Harry Jones. He joins us in our Spirit Score studio. And we're going to go through some, not many numbers, because it's horrible to do on the radio, but just philosophy, because there's a lot of philosophy behind this budget and new philosophy at that. We have and if you'd like to join our conversation, 704-926-WFAE. That's 704-926-9323. 800-603-WFAE or WFAE.org/Charlotte Talks. And we have an email here from Lucille who says, please tell us why it is fair to let residents of unincorporated areas get by without paying their full share for police protection. And didn't I read in the paper this morning that you're recommending that we increase the taxes on the unincorporated areas, the property taxes in those areas?
Well, actually, in my recommendation, it does not include a tax rate increase. What I showed the board would be what tax rate increase could be imposed on those individuals. And if they did that, then that would free up about $1.5 million that we need to fund that service fully for the police department for the next year. Mm-hmm. But to answer that question, the unincorporated citizens only pay one property tax, and that's the property tax to Mecklenburg County because mm-hmm. they're not within the boundaries of any municipality, the city, or the towns. So in addition to the property tax and law enforcement service district tax, there are no additional taxes that they pay, and the unincorporated, law enforcement service district tax is lower than the combined taxes of the other towns. Mm-hmm. But they don't have the other municipal services that the other towns and the cities have as well.
And she goes on to comment, this year is surely the low point of the economic disaster, so why keep contributing to the rainy day fund when the money is so badly needed? And I think in the paper today, in the editorial page, I think they said, surely there is, if there ever was a rainy day, this is it.
Well, the first part of that point assumes that we are at the low point of the economic downturn, and it depends upon who you listen to. There's some economists who say that we're out of this particular recession. There are others who will say, yes, we're out of it, but the recovery is going to be very protracted. And I think that what we have to do is to be cautious in how we go forward. I'm going to keep making this point to continue to spend in the fashion that we have been spending is to continue the practices that have got us in the circumstance that we're in. Mm-hmm. And we need to be far more conservative in our approach going forward. And to do that, I recognize this, to do that, as I said last night, it creates some pain in the short term. But we'll work our way out of it if we are methodical and deliberate and thoughtful in how we need to go forward.
And what is the status, she wants to know, of collecting the millions of dollars allegedly owned by delinquent taxpayers? Is there such a lot of money out there?
I think that what she's referring to is that every year we post in the paper those people who have not paid their taxes. And normally when we do that, we begin to see some of those individuals come in and begin to pay. Others will come in and work arrangements out with us. And then sometimes we have to revert to garnishment of accounts to get payment. And there are some that are posted that may be tied up in appeals. Some of them are tied up in estates and things like that. But we do all that we can to make the collections.
Liz on Facebook writes, look at the impact of undocumented workers in Mecklenburg, if any, on the shortfall. How is Mecklenburg going to deal with the influx and the strain on the resources being sliced? Surely there is some impact. Look around you. Is there? People have this impression that undocumented workers don't pay any taxes.
That's a difficult question for me to answer, and I don't want to hazard a guess that we are providing services to undocumented workers because I don't have any data to say that we are.
The county doesn't have any data?
I don't have it with me. I know we have some data, but I don't know what the statistics show. So I just I should know that, but I don't. I don't today.
Does somebody in county government know, like in social services?
I can get the data from social services. I can get the data from other departments in the health department as well, and I'd be more than happy to get that.
Okay. Let's take a couple of phone calls. So put your headphones on so you can hear Bruce in Charlotte. Welcome to WFAU.
Thank you, and good morning to you both.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Jones, when the budget came out, or the county revisited the current fiscal year that we're in back in, I guess it was March, and, the libraries were going to have to close branches, and all those ramifications became known to the public. There was a line item that was discovered in that current county budget that was still left at that point. There was $4.35 million that was described as being for business incentives. And basically my understanding is what that was is that's part of the giveaways to corporations to relocate to Mecklenburg County. And it seems, so I'm wondering if that same incentive those business incentives are in your proposed budget for this coming fiscal year that starts July 1st, and what that number is. I'd like to know that, please.
Okay.
Yes, it is in my proposed budget. They're what's called business investment grants that we end up being somewhat contractually responsible for.
These are refunding. These are past grants.
Pardon me?
Are these past grants?
No, these are current grants, and
okay.
The business investment grants, and what we do is that we offer business incentives along with the city in Charlotte for businesses to relocate here, and in exchange for them meeting some thresholds like hiring, investment in their companies, what if capital investment, and those kinds of things in this community, we pay back to them a portion of the taxes that they pay, and so this funding number that's in the budget is that dollar amount that we have committed to pay back to them.
Are there new incentives going forward?
We will continue to work with the Chamber of Commerce and others to identify if businesses that might want to relocate here and talk to them about those incentives.
Do these incentives pay off in the long run? What's been your experience?
The experience has been that the businesses, for the most part, that we have offered these incentives to have met the criteria.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing the hiring that they said they're going to do. They're doing the investment in the facilities that they said they're going to do. The essential thing is they're creating jobs,
right,
and they're expanding
tax base. In these contracts that you enter into with these companies to give them these incentives, are there penalties if they withdraw and don't hold up their end of the bargain? For instance, if they decide after a year or two that, well, we've gotten all we can squeeze out of this turnip, we're going to move across the border to South Carolina.
Well, we do write into these provisions what's called a clawback provision and impose, quote unquote, your words, the penalties on them for not fulfilling their requirements. The dollar amount, I don't remember. I want to say that the number is I believe to be about $6.5 million, but I may be wrong on that.
Okay. Thank you for your call, Bruce. Let's go to Thomas in Charlotte. Welcome to WFAE, Thomas.
Hey, Mr. Jones, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing fine, sir.
Last night, one of your county commissioners brought up the issue with retaining some of the county employees because, they're leaving because, it's very competitive. And, with the current job market, people are dying to have jobs. Now, that's I'm kind of concerned about that. Can you give me some more input on that?
I'm not clear on what you're referring to.
What's his name? Cogdale or whatever his name was last night said we're having a hard time retaining because people are leaving because of the pay that they're not being paid.
Yeah, you've frozen pay scales here.
I've frozen contained in my budget is I'm freezing pay, increasing benefit costs for employees. But Mr. Cogdell last night, I think, talked about the issue of possibly looking at salary reductions or salary cuts for employees so that we could save some money and save some employees from being laid off. I don't know if the Board of County Commissioners is going to take that issue up. I don't know if Mr. Cogdill is going to revisit that item, but that's one way that he proposes to retain some of the employees who are slated to be laid off.
In other words, cut your total expenses by cutting salaries, keeping people on the job, but having them all collectively make less money.
That's correct.
There was this hue and cry several years ago, or not hue and cry, but there was this push toward making sure that government employees were compensated at a level that was competitive with the private sector because good people were being lost or could be lost to the private sector. Is that still a concern given the economy overall?
It is a concern. I can give you examples of two or three individuals in the last month who likely would have stayed and we lost them to the private sector because of the uncertainty of where we are. One of the things that I heard yesterday from the representative from the Employers Association was that many private sector companies are beginning to rehire, and they're beginning to restore benefits that they had taken away from mm-hmm. employees in the past so that they can remain competitive and retain their employees. So, yes, for us, it's a concern.
You mentioned, we already talked about this a little bit, that the impact of declining sales tax revenues, declining interest on investment, declining revenues from fees. All that's happening at the same time that you say the demand for county services is rising. Why is it rising? Because people have lost their jobs. You're talking about social services here?
Yeah, we're talking about social services, health services programs. The social services department had about a 35% in an unduplicated increase in applications for services. We're seeing increased requests for food stamps. And what we're seeing also is some demographic shift in terms of the ethnicities of people who are coming in to apply for services that we have not seen in the past. And to me, that reflects the fact that there are people who have done all that they can do by themselves to sustain themselves and are now turning to what we do, our safety net, for some of their essential services.
And it's part of the problem the county faces is that you have all these mandates, things that you must fund because that's what you're told to fund either by the state or by the federal government, and you have to fund them whether or not you have a revenue source for it.
Exactly right. We have to fund them. We get some funding from the state of North Carolina for some of the services that we provide, but we provide services, for example, in our area mental health area that looks at things like substance abuse prevention and treatment programs that we have, hospitals that would detoxification hospital and behavioral health hospitals. We probably provide a service that's above the level that other counties provide, but we have the demand in this community mm-hmm. for those particular services.
Charlie on our website asks, what are other communities doing to leverage the Internet to reduce the footprint and cost of operating a library in this day and age with an increasing number of books and publications available in digital format? Do we really need to be building so many branches? Seems to me the libraries are doing the things exactly the same way they were 25 years ago. I don't think that's necessarily true because they've got a big digital section as well. But do we need libraries?
Well, I think libraries are important. I don't want to diminish that. I think that and I've said this before, so this is not going to catch anybody by surprise. I don't know if we need to continue to build libraries as we have built them in the past mm-hmm. and have the capital costs associated with them. What I would recommend is that we become anchor tenants or tenants within shopping centers, as an example. And you build smaller libraries, let the developer build the library, and then we lease from them, short-term, long-term leases, or whatever the case might be. And you can have smaller cafe-style types of libraries around the community, as opposed to saying that we've got to have regional libraries in every quadrant of this community. Mm-hmm. And take advantage of the new technologies that exist.
From Ashley on our website, a suggestion for all parents at CMS. What if each parent was assessed a $50 fee per family that would supplement CMS until the economy improves? My child is at CMS, and I know all the parents at our school would do whatever it takes to keep our teachers and staff. Would $50 do it from every parent?
Well, basically, it's a, you know, our education system is a free public education system,
right.
And I would think that in order for that to be done, that the school system would need to get authority from the General Assembly to impose that type of cost.
Could people do it voluntarily?
I would think that they could do that. There's a foundation that the school system has. I don't know whether or not the funding from that could – I don't know how they allocate their funding, but I would assume they could do it voluntarily if they thought that the benefit would be worthwhile.
We talked about why you didn't want to raise – why the board didn't want to raise property taxes. But you have – I think you've recommended a quarter-cent sales tax hike. Is that correct?
No, I did not. We have the authority to go to the citizens and for a referendum for a quarter-cent sales tax. I think that the local newspaper, the Charlotte Observer, in its editorial today suggested that we place before the citizens a quarter-cent sales tax referendum this fall.
Good idea? Bad idea?
If it would have been a good idea as a part of this budget, I think I would have recommended it's an additional tax on our citizens.
Mm-hmm.
And for that reason, I didn't even consider it as a part of it. So
because Frank asks, what would an additional 1% sales tax do for our children? I guess if you earmarked it for the schools, would that take the pain away from the cuts the schools are about to face?
If you dedicate it to schools, obviously, yeah, it would take the pain away, and I don't know what the 1 cent would generate in this economy, but let's just make an assumption that a 1 cent, even in this economy, would generate $30 million, then that's a significant, that's twice the increase that the school system asked for in this current year's budget.
Matt in Charlotte, you're on WFAE.
Thank you, Mike, and Harry. Across the United States, we hear a lot about smart grid, and we also hear Thomas Friedman writes that energy technology is going to change the world more than information technology did. Well, some of us think that if the smart grid is going to work, it means smart cities. And some cities like Austin and Aspen are doing that. I know Charlotte is trying to reinvent itself instead of a banking center, the energy center. Jim Rogers at Duke is leading a lot of activities, including the community college. Can you talk a little bit about what the city and county are doing to make Charlotte a smart city? And maybe there's some opportunities to save energy costs by moving to more renewable energy.
Oh, man, I don't want to avoid your question, but I guess I am. I'm not authoritative enough in that area. I've got a great staff that is working in collaboration with the city on around energy and
is the city working on it? Do you know?
I think that they are, but I don't have enough detail in my head to really be smart enough to respond to that.
Sorry, Matt. Can't answer every question, but thank you for your call. I appreciate it. Harry Jones is the Mecklenburg County Manager. We're talking to him about the realities, the new realities faced by the county in terms of funding their annual budget, which has been cut severely because of the recession and the thoughts behind the budget recommendations he made to the county commission last night. We'll come back with more and take your calls and comments as well when we come back. Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Charlotte Talks is made possible in part today by the Beckler Museum of Modern Art, now exhibiting the BMW art car painted in 1975 by artist Alexander Calder. The BMW art car is on view in the museum's lobby through Friday. Details at Beckler.org. And by Southern Energy Management, offering energy audits, Energy Star certification, and solar power systems for homeowners, builders, and businesses since 2001. Details available at southern-energy.com. Well, key primaries in a handful of states yesterday revealed much about voter attitudes toward incumbents and the Obama agenda. Analysis of the results and what they could mean for Democratic and Republican prospects in the fall, all coming up in about 20 minutes on the Diane Rehm Show at 10 o'clock. If you'd like to join our conversation, 704-926-WFAE. That's 704-926-9323, 800-603-WFAE, or every other way imaginable at WFAE.org/Charlotte Talks.
This is Renee Montaigne. While you've been sleeping, the Morning Edition team has been busy asking the questions you want answers to and finding out the latest on the news that affects your life. So when you wake up, ready to feed your curiosity, Morning Edition will help you start your day right. Tune in weekdays. It's Breakfast for Your Brain.
In-depth morning news you can trust. Weekdays on Morning Edition from 5 till 9 on 90.7 WFAE.
It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. Harry Jones, Mecklenburg County Manager, with us the day after he presented his final budget to the County Commission. They will now take it up and make decisions about on those recommendations. But the cutbacks are severe because of the reality of the situation. One of the things that you're calling for, because we're not going to dwell too much on the numbers here, but you're calling for a kind of central planning when it comes to capital infrastructure. Instead of master plans being put together by various agencies, you want a central planning agency to put it together, and everybody falls into line. How would that work? How would that be more effective in saving money?
I don't know if it'll necessarily save money, but I think that it'll help create better synergy. I mean, for example, master planning gets done various times in the course of a year by different entities. The right hand does not know what the left hand is doing. Public presentation gets made about, well, we're looking at building libraries in this area or parks in this area or schools in this particular area. And what I'm saying is that if you're going to request county money to pay for that capital infrastructure, then let's do this capital planning together. I don't know what it would look like, but I think that my recommendation is to say, let's all get in the room and to figure it out. Mm-hmm. You know, what do you see for schools? What do you see for parks? What do you see for libraries? And how can we?
So these people in the room would be who? The people who have traditionally made those decisions on their own?
Correct. For example, you've got a separate library board and a director that works for the library board. Mm-hmm. They do their own master planning. Mm-hmm. Jim Gargis, mm-hmm. Park Commission,
right.
County Commission, County Manager, and our staff, we're all in the room together talking about how to plan this, how to pay for it, describing for whatever company that's going to do the planning and the consultancy for us, setting the parameters of the scope of what the plan should look like as opposed to it being a separate undertaking.
Is that what you're talking about when you called for the redesign and reshaping of county government?
That's one component of it,
okay.
Yes. The other component of it is to look at ways that we can resource, share resources, what we call resource sharing in Mecklenburg County. We're doing some of that now with our financial management area, but we're going to contract a great deal. This budget's going to force us to rethink how we contract. If you look at some of the reductions that we made, they're getting a lot of attention, but you look at public service and information had a 30-some percent cut. Mm-hmm. Information services, I think, had 15 to 20% cut. That's IT. Human resources department had a reduction of about 25 to 30%. And what we're saying is that there might be some services between those entities that can be shared, resources that can be shared to become more efficient in how we operate. That's just an example of the different thinking that we've got to do. Mm-hmm. And also the other piece of this is to get the Board of County Commissioners engaged in reshaping and redesigning Mecklenburg County from the standpoint of changing the vision. We put a vision in place back in 2000, and we've got the challenge whether or not that vision is still worthwhile. We have a vision through 2015. Let's rethink that. Go back and adjust our balanced scorecard goals.
What does that vision say?
It's a very long vision, okay. But our vision statement is all-encompassing about the standards of excellence that we want to have relative to the per capita incidences of AIDS and HIV. There's some data in there relative to that. It talks about parkland, safe drinking water. I don't have it all.
So are you saying essentially that we really can't meet those standards given the current economic reality?
We're going to be challenged to meet them. I think that we need to revisit them and to revisit the metrics that are associated with the elements of our balanced scorecard.
Because when Superintendent Peter Gorman was with us, he said the time has come to do less with less. And you have said the time has come to do less with less. And that means establishing what you call new service expectations for both residents and employees. What should we expect?
I think in the short term, given if the board accepts this recommendation, one thing that citizens should expect is that we will retain and maintain our quality services. I think the second thing that you should expect is some inconvenience. Libraries are not going to be open as frequently as they have been in the past. Your recreation centers are not going to be open as frequently as they have been in the past. With fewer people in some offices, getting return messages and phone calls may not be as quickly as they were done in the past because we have fewer people to respond to citizen concerns and those types
of
things.
So if we don't notice any, don't feel any pain, will we feel then that we have done the right thing? But if we feel pain, if we are not getting what we're accustomed to getting, will we realize that finally that taxes equal services?
I think there's something to that. I think that citizens at some point will say, if they feel pain and they feel that the services are inadequate, they will let us know that it's time for us to take a different course, and that might be to raise taxes to meet the services that they want to have. And the other thing that citizens will not have is as quickly developed capital projects. You got to remember, we still have some unauthorized debt that's out there. We've got the capacity based upon the citizens approving bond referendum. Mm-hmm. I'll give you a good example. 2008, the citizens approved $250 million in park and recreation bonds. We have not sold $1 of that yet. And so there's some expectation that those citizens who supported park and recreation bonds, that there are going to be parks built in and around or close to their neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. And I last night said, let's indefinitely suspend our capital projects until we, you know, get some more hay in the barn and have a way to pay for that in the future. So the expectation that some of the facilities that they believe are coming, schools and the like, are not going to be as immediate.
If the county commission takes you up on suspending, does that help our debt rating?
It will help our debt service because we're not issuing more debt. You know, it'll help us reduce what our debt service costs are. I will say with respect to the debt rating, because our debt to our total operating budget is up around 21%, I have some concerns about our ability to retain our AAA bond rating going forward. I think the factors are going to be what the rating agencies believe we're doing from a management standpoint, right, to build up sufficient reserves, to manage our debt better, and how we measure against our peer cities and counties around the state
and
around the country.
And the importance of maintaining that AAA bond rating is that it makes money cheaper to obtain, and it increases your ability to obtain money, correct?
Yeah, well, the higher your credit rating, as an individual, the higher your credit score,
right,
the better chance that you have on better rates, if you will,
okay,
because people are willing to take a risk on you.
Robert in Charlotte, you're on WFAE.
Yes, thank you so much. First of all, I really appreciate the straightforward conversation that you guys are having. But I'm a career switcher. I'm currently attending University of North Carolina at Charlotte, and I'm in the education program. And the question that gets tossed around in every classroom is, you know, are we even in the right major anymore? There's going to be such a huge pool of teachers without jobs that, you know, it looks like hundreds of us are going to be stuck with what sounds like a useless diploma. Do we all need to switch majors?
Well, that's a decision that you've got to make, but I don't think that you have to switch majors. I think that school systems all over this country are looking for people with who are pursuing degrees such as yours. There are significant challenges out here in the education arena. We have in this country a high school dropout rate of about 30% nationally. You stay true to your dreams and to your hopes, and believe that you can make a difference.
All right, well, I appreciate it.
Good luck to you. I have just lost all of the information on my call screen, so I don't know who I'm going to. So when you hear the click and you hear me say hello, you're on the air. I think this is Frank, if I recall correctly. Welcome.
Okay, hi. Okay, I have two things to say. One of them is, when you say you lay off 500 teachers, you're still paying them about 70% once they get laid off of unemployment. The only thing, the state's going to be paying that. We're still going to, the taxpayers will still be paying that. You know, okay, so there's two things that we could do. We could put it on the ballot for June the 24th to see if people like me, a homeowner, would be willing to pay. And yes, I am. And my kids do not go to school anymore. Okay, and the other thing is that we pay North Carolina $88 million to fund weapons for Israel. Okay, when they already produce enough weapons for themselves, so we could keep that money and we could fund our schools and our libraries. Okay?
That's federal tax dollars, though, correct? Okay. What about the first comment that he made, the fact that when we lay these teachers off and when we lay county employees off, and it's about 1,500 people now we're talking about, that we will have to pay unemployment for these folks. And the general tax burden, because if they stay unemployed, they may apply for other services. Is it wise? Is it economically wise to lay these people off in a recession like that?
Well, I don't like the idea that we're having to lay employees off, whether it's school teachers or county employees. And I've struggled with that. This has been the toughest part of the decisions that I've had to make. As a matter of fact, I just need to say this, Mike. I guess my staff last night was looking to see how I would contain my emotions when I got to the part about employee compensation. The reality is that we are in an environment, economic downturn, mm-hmm. and we had significant curtailment in our revenue stream. And the only way to make that revenue stream up was to raise taxes. To make up $81 million would require about a 8 cent tax rate increase, about an 8.5 cent tax rate
on the property tax.
On the property tax to make up that type of, mm-hmm. of shortfall.
So you have frozen salaries of county employees last year, or this current year, and next year as well. No bonuses, correct?
No bonuses.
And in addition to layoffs and all of that, you're recommending not to fund the county portion of employees' 401ks, and there's another number in there, too.
Yeah, we suspended 401k deferred compensation for 401k and what's called the 457 deferred compensation.
So employees can still put money in, but the county's not going to put
anything
in.
That's correct.
So that's really a reduction in salary, because it's a reduction in benefits. It's cash benefits.
Yeah, it's a reduction in their total compensation.
Exactly. And you're also are you looking at a change in retiree benefits, or just for future retirees?
For future retirees, we're saying let's impose a policy or improve a policy that says that beginning January, any employee hired after July 1st, 2010 will not be receive the benefit of health care benefits when they retire from Mecklenburg County.
That's a big change.
It's a big change. You won't see the effect of that in the short term from a cost standpoint, mm-hmm. but it will help relieve 20 years from now the unfunded liability, if you
Do
will.
Do we really have to look out 20 years from now? I mean, things could rapidly change for the better, or for the worse, I suppose, but they could rapidly change. I mean, 20 years ago, we would never have thought we'd be in this position.
Well, I do. I think you have to look out that far.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you why. I think that I'm going to repeat what I said earlier. If you keep on doing things the way you've been doing them, the next time you have a recession, you're going to be right back in the same situation. We've got to stop and pause and reflect about how not to get into this dilemma again.
And you have said we cannot afford the government services that we have right now, and that the future will be very different from the past. We will not return to the past in the near term, if ever. Ever?
Yes. I mean, I think that if you start talking about contracting government, looking at what you're paying for today, and you say that you want to be different in how you look and how you operate, then you may never return to how you look today.
These are your recommendations, because that's your job.
Right.
What reaction did you feel you got last night from the people who will make the ultimate decision, and those are the members of the county commission?
I was looking at the faces and as I was giving the presentation, and the reaction that I saw was that this really isn't good news. I've been telling them that it wasn't going to be good news. I had told the board that we had picked all the low-hanging fruit and that we were going to prune the trees from which we had taken the fruit in the past. What I've also said is that there's no easy choices, and as I laid out for them the temptations that were in this budget, I just saw the faces that said, well, what he has been telling us has now come full circle and is correct.
Hmm. A comment by Danny, the most recent economic crisis just compounds the problems that already existed with CMS. It seems colossal mismanagement keeps CMS from being as successful as a city like Charlotte deserves. Well, they're not a city, they're a school system. I find it hard to believe you will attract businesses and retain them here if you can't provide a functioning public school system. Cutting the schools, are you hurting our chances?
I don't think Charlotte-Mecklenburg school system enjoys just a great reputation in this country, and I think in this community, and I think they've got good leadership in Dr. Gorman.
Yeah, she says here that the public school system here is a mess, but you are correct in saying that nationally we have a glowing reputation. Is that because they're farther away and they see the big picture, or they don't see the faults because they're not close enough to the problem?
Well, I think that people here, I think people here think the same thing about their school system for the most part. It's a good school system.
Harry Jones, Mecklenburg County Manager, get ready for pain is the message here, and I'm sure there'll be ongoing discussions about this in the coming months. Thank you for joining us. I appreciate it.
Invite me back anytime.
Okay.
Charlotte Talks with Mike Collins.